Coming up on TMS, spinners are too much hassle.
I can't find my car. Oh, no.
Do you take this cow to be your husband?
Usher has some stuff going on.
I should have put with his groin, but I didn't. you do not want to see that in your ice cream.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What sound was that?
It was like a half-hearted fart.
I liked it.
And your ice cream.
Now, Cam's crisp refreshment comes to you in a handy new no-deposit, no-return glass bottle. So compact, it fits any refrigerator shelf. Yet, it contains a full bottle of beer. Hams, in the six-bottle refrigerator pack.
Exterminate. Money is honey. This is The Morning Stream.
Man, Brian doing the robot over there. That's cool. I like
that's right.
That.
I need to learn semaphore for TMS.
Yeah. We got to listen.
I'll do semaphore while I'm...
What is semaphore? Is that when you spell it with your arms? Is that what that
yeah,
means?
Yeah, it's like the album cover for Help by the Beatles is semaphore.
Okay, how about the YMCA? Is that a version
nope,
of that?
No, that's just you making the closest thing to the letters YMCA with your arms. That is not semaphore.
All right.
I think that's how you land a DC-10 is with the YMCA.
Oh, okay, good. I wondered if it had more professional uses than its current incarnation, which is just annoying people at a baseball game.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It is TMS. It's Thursday, July 20th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett, and we are darn close to my camping trip. I leave tomorrow afternoon. So there is an instance tomorrow. That'll be good. Terpster and I have some plans. But after that, I go up to the canyon there. That's called... what's the name of the canyon we're going to? It's called Spanish Fork Canyon.
Oh, Spanish Fork, sure.
Yeah, and up there...
which is otherwise called Forco.
Yeah, and my first question to everybody was, "Hey, what's the bathroom situation?" So here's the deal:
here's a shovel.
It's like 30 acres or 100 acres or something, but 30 of it is available or whatever. Somebody who owns it who's saying, "Yes, go use this for your camp." And on this thing, there is, I guess, some sort of old barn, and there's also I forgot what the other thing was, some other structure of some sort, and then there's a pond that's stocked with fish.
Okay.
That they keep, you know, full of fish so we can go fishing there. That'll be fine, I guess. And I said, well, what about the pooper? What are we doing that with that? And they said, well, it's just like straight up port-a-john, like construction toilet things.
Oh, really? Big plastic?
Yeah. I hate those, dude. Freaking hate them. With a fiery...
the smell on those things are horrendous.
Yeah, it's the worst thing ever created by man. So I'm really not looking forward to those. I may have to just... Me and Mother Nature may have to get a little intimate over the weekends, what I'm saying.
Oh, no way, really? So, like, you'd actually pick the, like, pooping in the woods over pooping in a porta potty?
Yeah, because then I can just bury it. I'll take a little shovel out there with me, do a little digging, you know, create my own, make an earth toilet, see? And then drop it in there, see? And then cover
it
up.
I think you're creating a little more work for yourself than you really want to do.
Well, then I need some kind of, I don't know, a head mask or something to go. I hate those things. I cannot stand those, especially in the heat, like midday heat, man. Oh, my gosh. Those things are, it's a hellscape. And I don't like looking down the hole. That's the other thing I don't like to do.
Oh, well, don't never look down the hole. That's like staring into the sun without any sort of eye protection.
Right. And the worst.
Never.
You know what?
Never look down the hole.
Let me tell you what are worse than that. In the cabin or in the woods, you'll have like those ones that are more like cabin-y built out there and it's just a hole and like 10 feet drop or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Those are worse because you can't see down there.
Right.
And I always imagine there's some like snakes. Little creepy like chud like down there looking at me.
Anaconda that's gonna like snake up and bite you in the taint.
Yeah. Or some or someone's gonna go puts the lotion in the basket or something like that. I mean I do not interested in any of those kinds of things. We are a modern society. We've built out, fleshed out these toilets pretty well. We've flushed them out as well.
Flushed them out. By the way, the term is never flushed them out. Fleshed.
It's fleshed them out. Yeah, it's fleshed. Let's just make sure people, once in a while, it's good to do a PSA on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are some people believe it is fleshed out. It is not. It is fleshed out. It's always been fleshed out.
Let me give you a few sketches for the ad, and then we can flesh them out.
Yes.
Because you're providing a skeletal bare bone structure, and you'll put the flesh on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your quarter two plans for the company, but I think some of these things just need to be fleshed out a little bit.
Exactly.
See? That's the usage.
Taco Bell needs to be fleshed out.
Yeah.
Like, drink lots of water so you can flesh out that Taco Bell.
Right. Thus ends the lesson.
The more you know.
All right. Real quick. You know, Russia's in the news a lot. Hashtag not political. Okay? I'm not getting political here. But, there's something weird going on over there. They think, and I wonder, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I wouldn't mind it if you asked your neighbor about this, but I doubt that's going to happen because it's too much hassle for him to answer this. Yeah. But Russia thinks that fidget spinners are an evil plan by the Americans.
Plus, I don't think that he keeps up with this. Like, I don't think that it's like the Borg hive mind, that even though he's not living in Russia, he still feels the way that all Russians do.
They don't communicate as a collective, is what you're saying to me?
I am Lokutsky of Borg. Prepare to be assimilated.
Resistance is futile.
Resistance is too much hassle.
I may have to draw that guy. Anyway, so they say that they are perhaps not so harmless, which almost sounds Russian. According to one recent report on Rosia 24, that's a channel, I guess, suggests that Russian opposition parties were trying to lure young supporters and raise money by hawking these spinners. And the fact that many of the participants in a recent nationwide demonstration organized by the anti-corruption crusader Alesky A. Navalny were young Russians had to be explained somehow. In other words, you know, they're all young, up-and-coming protesters.
They're bribing young kids by giving them fidget spinners.
Yeah, and here's the question that the reporter on the state-owned television show said. It says, it is a mystery why it has become so popular in Russia right now. Who is promoting to the masses so actively? And then they go on to bounce the idea around that it's an American conspiracy to destroy the youth of Russia. So
yeah, it's like one article described it as the zombification of Russian youth. They basically have the fidget spinner and they're transfixed.
It's the most backwards, dumb thing I've ever heard. If you want to blame anyone, probably blame China, because they're making them all. They're all getting made there.
Yeah.
So it's not really us making them. And the rate at which, if that's true, then we're brainwashing our own kids, because every kid I know has three or four fidget spinners on them at one time. It's true. Yesterday I'm out walking the dog and I see 5-6 kids all playing in a yard, and three of them are just like two spinners in their hands running around.
It's a double fist spin in action, basically.
Yeah. So,
and a third is a backup in case something happens to the first two.
Yeah. And this is a fad that, I mean, let's be honest, it's not going to go on forever. Right?
No.
At some point we're all going to drop it.
I'm trying to figure out a way to create an AR game, an AR app, that allows you to catch fidget spinners in the wild and have a collection of them. Because I think if you merge these two streams.
Yeah. So Pokemon Go-ify the fidget spinner craze.
Right, exactly. Right. I want to be able to walk around and collect fidget spinners out in the wild using my phone. And I think I'm just making an ATM, basically, is what I'm going to make. It's just going to keep handing me money.
There are fidget spinner apps, it looks like.
Really?
Yeah. There's a bunch of these. Here's one.
They probably simulate a fidget spinner, basically.
So here's a guy who's actually streaming himself playing it. Here, chat room, I'll pull this up for you.
Okay.
We'll put that down. Okay, we'll play this here for a second. All right, so this guy's...
Hey, man. I'm Chris with Phone Cats. New number one game on the App Store. I poop you not. Number one game. Fidget spinner. Made by Ketchup Games, the one that makes those really popular games.
Okay.
Oh, the one that makes the really popular games.
So you just spin it, and you spin it?
But yeah, guys, if y'all come to my channel for Cats or Clash Royale, this is the new thing. Like, I hope you guys like it. This is the new game.
It literally, you're spinning it, and you get the more you spin it, you get XP, I guess, for doing this.
I like the fact that his backing music sounds like the same thing you hear playing in claw machine games in Japan.
Oh, let's hear it again.
It's number one free game. You can't argue with that. The worst part is that other fidget spinner apps are climbing up too.
Yeah, that's the worst part. I'll tell you the worst part is, dude, it ain't that. I can tell you that right now.
It's the fact that you said I poop you not.
Anyway, so it's more appropriate than ever that Brian Dunaway says,
exterminate.
Our plan is to exterminate the Russian kids with our fidget spinner controversy.
Yeah, I feel like fidget spinners are one of these things that exploded so quickly, they'll burn out just as quickly.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's already gone longer than you expected a little bit?
Yeah, actually, I kind of do. Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, here I am. I'm actually sitting here playing with the one from our friends, Ishkadoodle at Etsy, that one made out of metallic rings.
Yeah,
little
I love
metal
that
rings.
Thing. Yeah, the little, it's like chainmail. Yeah.
It's chainmail, and I'm just addicted to this thing.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's
a
mesmerizing spiral. But I have a feeling that it's not going to be too long before we see the news videos of, well, we've already seen are fidget spinners harming your child? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be pretty soon we're going to see the people gathering in a park with a bonfire where they're throwing their fidget spinners into a pile, into a lit trash can.
Yeah.
Flames leaping out of it, melting their fidget spinners.
Very creative destruction of their fidget spinners in slow motion and stuff like that. That would be cool.
Right.
I would watch that. My favorite thing right now, and I don't have it here, so it's probably not my favorite thing. It's upstairs somewhere. But for my birthday, my brother-in-law got me magnetic putty. Do you know what this is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's... I got a can of that stuff, and it comes with a magnet, and then if you set the magnet on the blob of it and just leave it all day, it will eventually envelop the magnet because it's attracted to it or whatever.
Swallows it up. It's really cool.
Anyway, just playing with that, that's your fidget spinner from a long time ago, playing with the silly putty. I like that.
Well, slinkies were kind of like that, you know, you could sit there and just play with a slinky just in your hands for a while, and...
A loner in pairs, up and downstairs, everyone knows.
It's fun for a girl and a boy.
Oh, it is? Oh.
And people of any color.
Oh. And even white people and Hispanic people.
And white people and Hispanic people.
Okay, great.
That's a callback, people.
Yeah, it's a callback, not a reason to send me an email saying we're being racially insensitive. It's a callback to something funny. Yeah.
I mentioned Pokemon Go. This is the big weekend for them. This is the weekend they've got that big event going on in Chicago that I probably would have gone to if we didn't have this Vegas thing planned. But they just released a video today showing legendary battles like these. You're going to get an announcement 48 hours in advance, maybe. I mean, again, this is the Niantic propaganda machine of how we want you to think it's going to look versus the reality of tap, 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 tap. But basically, they're going to be dropping these legendary battles, and people are thinking that the first ones, and I believe this is true, the first ones probably are going to happen in Chicago during this GoFest thing Saturday.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah.
I want to hear how that goes. I noticed a little flash mob yesterday. Something hatched here locally. Suddenly 25 adults, mostly in ties and shirts from the big business building next to it, were all out there doing something.
Yeah, probably a raid.
Probably a raid, yep.
Sure was a raid.
What's funny is most of them were adults, again, like looking like business dudes.
Yeah.
And then a car pulls up with some kids in it. It's their parents dropping them off for the raid. But they were probably the same age as the adults that were out there doing it.
Well, it's funny. The video that Niantic posted today, and it is worth checking out. It's pretty cool. Finally kind of accepts the fact that, all right, there's going to be people. It's not just the 20-something millennials and hipsters playing this thing. There's an old guy who hucks a raspberry up at a gym.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, they're saying, all right, we know that probably a lot of you are old people.
Yeah, probably. It's cool, though. I like that they're catering to everybody. And
For sure.
I think that the Chicago thing sounds like it'd be pretty neat. There's no way in hell I'd go to that. But I'm also not into the game like you are. I could totally see you going there. I could totally see that. Do you ever wonder if, I'm going to make a transition here.
Yeah.
Any American prisons, either high, what's the differences? One's a low, not low capacity, low,
Well, jail versus...
No, they're like high security. There you go. Minimum security to high security. Do they let the inmates play? Well, they don't have phones, I guess.
No.
Okay, so they can't do it. I wonder if they can have fidgets.
At least if Orange is the New Black is to be believed, then there's no phones in prison. Yeah.
That's where I get all my prison info as well. that and Oz. As far as I know, real life is like Oz. But anyway, so... O.J. Simpson has his parole hearing today, and I wanted to see if you're a gambling guy. You like to gamble.
Yeah.
Do you want to make a prediction here whether or not this is his second parole hearing? Some of the things he has going for him is that it's that he's 70. So age mm-hmm. does play a role in mm-hmm. parole. Mm-hmm. He's apparently is on record there at the prison of having extremely good behavior.
Exemplary, yeah, right.
Which, again, fine, whatever. As far as I know, there were no weird things, although there was this talk that it could harm him that he got busted by some guards. What's the word I want to use here? Pleasuring himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was that. So I don't know if that affects anything or not.
Well, you know.
Pretty much every inmate in there probably doing that. But the point is, do you think...
Some fresh squeezed OJ.
Oh, that's terrible, but great. All right.
Sorry.
No. You had to do it. It's fine. October 1st is the date he would get out if this parole hearing goes his way. So... Do you think OJ gets out?
I'm guessing he doesn't. Now this is the first. I thought this was his first parole hearing because he was set for 9 to 33 years, and he just hit the 9 year mark.
He had one other, and the only reason I know that is the documentary I always recommend, the OJ Made in America documentary.
Yeah,
begins with the whole opening scene is. His first parole hearing. Segments of it. Yeah. So it's the only reason I even know that. But
okay.
But yeah. So and I've read that that because it's his second and because of his age,
it increases his chances.
It's more lenient, but it doesn't guarantee mm-hmm. anything. So anyway, continue your theory there. What do you think?
Well, all right. If it's the second, now see, when he had his first one in that documentary, what were the reasons that they gave that
he had to stay?
That he had to stay, yeah.
I don't remember. I think he had said... I think that they didn't feel like his remorse was on par. Like, it just kind of felt like OJ stuff again, where he just sort of smiles a lot and tries to mm-hmm. look slick or whatever. And there was something in the documentary about how he didn't seem to feel like his crime, the one he's actually convicted for, the theft thing and breaking the mm-hmm. hotel room and all that, he didn't seem to feel like he was deserving of the punishment or something.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, sadly, this is all. He's in jail because of the collectibles, the Las Vegas collectibles theft, not because of the murder of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. So they can't legally take. They're not supposed to let that cloud their decision.
Yeah, even though you could argue 30 years in jail was mm-hmm. a. way of them doing well. In fact, the documentary makes that very clear. It's like the judge in that case was not. This is not normal sentencing for somebody who created theft or did a break and entering thing. Like that was way harsher.
A little
than that.
Bit more. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So clearly, they've already kind of done that. The question is, do they keep doing that, or do they let him out? I mean, I feel like they might. I feel like he may be out.
Yeah, I might flip. I might actually say that they might. Knowing that this is his second, that he's 70, that he's kind of in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Got some health stuff, right? Isn't that going on,
too?
Does
have some health stuff. Is there any way he does not get an E-Network show out of this?
Oh, my gosh, dude. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd really make me mad if
you
did.
Or maybe not E-Network. Maybe something like the History Channel. Watching OJ. You know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, he had a reality show for a while before this theft thing, and it was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, here's how he doesn't get it. So I'm going to now suggest ways he stays in prison. Mm-hmm. Number one, they ask the first question, and instead of answering it, He simply smiles, stands up, drops his pants, and pees all over his microphone. That's one way to stay in.
Sure.
All right. I don't think they let you out if you do that. Number two, they ask their first question, and he stands up and says, "I totally killed those people back in 94. All right. He could do that. That may not get him out. Third option is, and this is a lot like the first one, he stands up after the first question, drops his pants, and forcefully jams the microphone in his butt.
Oh, jeez.
There's no way they let him out if he does any of those three things.
Right. Okay. I think you're exactly right. I think that all those things guarantee he stays back in.
Yep. So how he gets out is probably just none of those things, plus showing some remorse, showing that you've, learned something from your time in incarceration, and, that you're ready to enter the world again. And
they're going to, ask, OJ, do you feel you've been rehabilitated?
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Well, I know what you think it means to be rehabilitated. To me, that's just a made up word. A politician's word. So young fellas like yourself can wear a suit and a tie and have a job."
That's right. It was the last time I saw Jesus. What'd you do last week, OJ, as an example of your time in prison? "I crawled through 300 miles of shit and came out clean on the other side." Yeah, this is how I want it to go. Now that you do it, now that you say that, that's what I'd really like. All right,
I would like that too. Yeah. Anyway,
we'll see. We'll come back to this today. We'll know. I think. Well, I don't know if they make their decision today. Maybe they do. I don't know. Do they make it the same time?
Oh, that's an interesting point. Right. They have the hearing.
Yeah.
And I think the hearing's in like half an hour.
Yeah, it's soon.
Do they send up the white or the black smoke through the chimney today, or do they mull it over? They probably mull it over. I would think that this isn't like a all right, you've just heard from O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. You now have 30 seconds to make up your mind. We're going to need an answer.
Yeah. Well, it says here the media scrutiny in the hearing will be less intense than it was for the 95 murder trial, in which he was found not guilty of murdering his ex-wife, Nicole and Ron Goldman. But the possibility that the Hall of Fame running back and former actor soon could be free again is drawing massive attention, including live coverage on multiple networks. So I guess, this is going to be live feeded. When's this happening? About an hour, you say?
Half an hour. Like, I think it starts at 11 our time.
Oh, we may have to check in.
Yeah. I think we'll have it. Let's have it on silently in the back. And Wendy will just love the fact that we've got... we're going to interrupt this, your important information about dealing with depression. Looks like OJ's getting out.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. He says, testimony is limited to the inmate. Oh, interesting. A representative of his...
He doesn't have a lawyer there or anything.
Well,
right?
It says it's limited to the inmate, a representative of his, victims of the crime. Oh, and one family member or supporter. So there's more. It can be his lawyer, yeah. It can be one of the victims, and it can be a supporter. It was not expected that the two victims or prosecutors will oppose his release. The board also will consider a pre-release investigation, a parole hearing report, a risk assessment, and letters of support or opposition. So they say there are 11 things you consider... 11 factors, including criminal history, age and gender, history of alcohol and or drug abuse, and behavior as an inmate. It will not be limited to those points, though, it says. But it does say criminal history, so maybe they do have to think about... I mean, he wasn't convicted of the other thing, so maybe they can't do that.
I don't know. That's good. Do they have to consider only the criminal history as it pertains to this...
Yeah, I don't know.
...this offense, or can they say... the people whose collectibles you tried to steal aren't here to oppose your parole, but...
Yeah. Oh, did you know that this can't be true? Okay. According to what I just ran into, chat, look at this. Pulling this up.
Chat?
Hold on. The Washington Post doesn't like that I'm blocking ads. No, I don't on your domain, you jerks. Okay, hold on. F. Lee Bailey. Remember him?
F. Lee Bailey.
Oh, I have to sign in for this? Anyway, it says OJ's defender, F. Lee Bailey, is broke, disbarred, and working in a hair salon.
What?
That can't be.
No.
This is the Washington Post.
Who was F. Lee Bailey in the in the
dramatization
was
it was Pumbaa or not Pumbaa.
Right. Yes. No. It was. It was the actor who voiced Timon.
Right.
And his name is Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane was. He was great in that.
He was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. He was super good. All right. Anyway, there's that. One final note. That the N17 film sack package I'm giving away, which includes a signed copy of that dealio. Where is it?
Hold on. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
There it is. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. So there it is right there. Also inside of here will be included two gift cards for Heroes of the Storm fans. One will be Falstad plus his Stormlord skin and Murky and his Funny Bunny skin. It's a terrible name. Some free prints, also signed and included, and a free sticker, also signed and included. All of that will happen today. So if you still haven't entered, there's time. I'll make the decision a little later this afternoon. If you want to go sign up for it, it's frogpants.com/contest. And before we go on to news, I have in my hands what looks like a weird stack of pancakes, but it's not. Here, so do I have a... I'm going to get a food.
They're Johnny Cakes.
Johnny Cakes, don't you know? Here's a... Here we go.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Okay. Oh. It's my wife and her sister.
That's Sarah. Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like Sarah and Kim.
I don't know what that was for, though.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I should play that every time I play Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, because that's what they call that when you win. You're the winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm opening it. Who is it? We don't know who this is from is the problem.
No. Yeah, so we know we have other things that you've provided for us. So as you listen to this and say, "Oh, I was the one who brought you those," let us know, and that way we can
we'd like to
mention you the next time we had something from this bag. By the way, you never did find any more of those TMS shirts, did you?
Oh, I did. I found one.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I got you covered. Cool. Coming soon to a
covered
a,
literally covered
to an Ibit near you.
Nice.
Tan Y Castell or Tanny? I don't know how you say this. It's the Y is separated. There's a kerning problem.
Tanya Costel.
Tanya Costel. Welsh cakes. You got some Welsh cakes.
Oh, they smell great.
So they look like pancakes, little blueberry pancakes, and I think maybe they kind of are. Brian was saying before the show, it says there may be hard rocks or something in this.
I don't know what they may be blueberry. I don't know what the fruit is that might be in them, but they could contain stones.
So there you go, chat room. A nice good look at it. It's some sort of pancakey thing. We're going to give these a shot here on the show. And we're not supposed to put anything on these, right? You just eat them?
No, you just eat them.
Okay, I'm nervous. These weren't refrigerated. They were just kind of in a bag.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't that, the package doesn't say they need to be refrigerated.
All right. I don't really get much out of it in terms of taste. Are you getting
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm getting the blueberry. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, what does it taste like? It's not so much a pancake as it's like a
it's like a biscuit.
Yeah, yeah, like a blueberry biscuit,
blueberry buttermilk biscuit kind of style.
Raisin. Yep. Oh, these are good.
Yeah, these are all right. These would be good dipped in your Java there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in your Java 2.0.
I know. I'm bummed. I didn't have time to make more coffee before the show started.
You slacker ass.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Can't believe it. All right. That does it for that. Let's dive into the news this morning. Morning news is brought to you by
Everyone Has a Story and You Should Read Mine by The Addict's Child, a story of my experiences with my mother's drug habit. Read the crazy stories and get those tissues ready. Proceeds go to the charity To Write Love on Her Arms, which deals specifically with substance abuse. Available on Amazon as an ebook. Again, it's The Addict's Child.
I feel a little bad. Had to read a thing with a mouthful of weird rocky pancakes.
I know, like dried. Right, I just ate a dried pancake and now read a thing.
Yeah, here you go. All right, well, let's get into it. Syracuse teen. Now, this is not Syracuse, Utah. That's also a little small town here in Utah, southern Utah, or southeast Utah. But Syracuse, New York teen. This is where Justin went to school, I guess.
He went to Syracuse?
Yeah, I think. Anyway, a teen drove to a rock concert and lost his car after he forgot where he parked it.
He really did do the, oh, no.
Yeah, let's see if I can find, where do I have that? My car, I can't hear it.
Where did I park my car? Oh, no.
Yep, that she literally went through that very experience, it sounds like. The morning after Sunday's Metallica concert, you know, with this Enter Sandman and the whatnot.
Right.
Galvin.
That's the rock and roll music making these kids forget where they parked their cars.
That sounds about right. With their fidget spinners and their comic books and their video games.
That's right.
Gavin Strickland called his parents with a horrible confession after driving across the Canadian border from Syracuse. In the name of heavy metal, he lost his car. Whatever. In the name of heavy metal.
In the name of heavy metal.
That's stupid. That's a dumb thing to say. This weekend, after spent the day in Oshawa, Gavin parked his blue-green Nissan Versa sedan somewhere in the first floor of the indoor parking garage. The garage was within a $8 cab ride of the Rogers Center. Have you ever been there? That's a Canadian thing, right?
Never been there, but this is great. So he crosses the border, drives to Canada to go see Metallica.
Yep.
He parks in an indoor. He remembers he parked in an indoor parking garage.
Yep.
And that the ride cost $8. So it's like, give me a, I want a 12-mile radius. Give me a, I want to look at every hen house, outhouse, farmhouse, and indoor parking garage.
Totally, dude. Not only that, he seems to have remembered every fine detail except for the part about where the car was parked generally. It's like his memory straw had too many marbles in it or something.
Right, yeah.
He just knows, let's see, he just doesn't know where. Now, 3 days later, his parents have enlisted the amateur scavenger hunters of Toronto to help him remedy the directional snafu of their doofy son. That's in quotes.
Doofy. Nice. That's good. I like that. Those are good parents. I think that's an appropriate term a parent can use to describe their child who lost their car in another country.
Pretty doofy. The quote is, can't make this up. A Tuesday evening Craigslist posting by Eric and Michelle Strickland wrote, these folks reside in the U.S. as his parents. A $100 reward has been offered for anyone who will scour Toronto's parking lots and garages for the wayward vehicle. Ambiguous landmarks Gavin remembers nearby include Starbucks, some construction.
Well, that'll narrow it down.
No kidding. There might have been trees.
There was a street light nearby.
I think the sky was out. It was blue. Let's see. He says also, in addition to the Starbucks, some construction, a strange spiral outdoor sculpture, and possibly a bank, which may or may not have been an RBC bank.
Yeah.
Kid is out of it, man.
Well done. Yeah, you could just follow the trail of roach clips and Cheetos bags and find it probably.
That's not a bad idea. A woman in the news has decided to marry a calf. That is a baby cow.
Okay, not the back of my leg?
No, not the back of your leg. Okay. Speaking of which, I got these mosquito bites are just killing me.
And I know, did anything work, by the way?
No, so your idea actually worked for a while. Like, that was probably the most relief for the longest time.
The thumbnail asterisk and the...
Yeah, but then eventually it got bad again. Like, sheets in the bed were annoying me. And somebody wrote in and says, dude, those are fleas, man. They focus on the legs. That's totally fleas. We don't get fleas in Utah. There's no such thing as fleas here, and I can't remember what the vet told me. The vet told me why.
You were bitten by the Red Hot Chili Peppers bass player, apparently.
Yeah, and he had a sock on his wiener and everything. It's great. But this idea that we have fleas, there's no fleas in, I don't think there's fleas in Denver either. There's an altitude thing for fleas. They don't like it up here. Or something.
Mm, yeah, same with us. Yeah. We don't have fleas here.
No, nobody has fleas here.
We don't have fleas. Mm-hmm.
How much is that dog in the window? The one with... That's not a wrong song. It's not
the
right song.
Wrong thing, yeah.
Anyway, it says woman married a baby cow because she believes that it's her reincarnated husband.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Cambodia's latest social media sensation. Let me just read that one more time. Cambodia's latest social media sensation. That's how you know we're living in the modern era, man.
Right. Who was the previous... social media, Cambodian social media sensation.
Don't tase me, bro, probably. Who knows? It's a 5-month-old calf believed by a villager to be the reincarnation of her dead husband. Kim Hang, age 74, said up to 100 people a day visit her home in northeast Krati. Krati? Krati? K-R-A-T-I-E.
Yeah, Krati.
It's like
know.
Katie without the R or with an
sure.
R.
Sure,
Sure. Anyways, to see the calf, and she believes is very similar to her husband. Tol Kut was his name. Mm-hmm. Tol Kut. He's like, Kalama Shakti Day. Bring back to us. Anyway, who died more than a year ago. I believe that the calf is my husband because whatever he does, it is exactly the same way my husband did it when he was alive. I don't want to know more
about
that.
Just sits there with a blank stare on his face, pooping on the floor. That's exactly what my husband did.
Yep. Chewed up all my shoes, farted a lot. Let's see.
That's right. Looked very disinterested at me.
Yeah. Didn't seem to really be into it. Cow was born in March, has attracted a strong following on social media. I thought it was quite unusual to see a cow go up to the house like this, said Thatch Vin, age 32. Referring to, maybe people have cool names in Cambodia. Yeah. Jeez.
Tol Kut and Thatch Vin.
Thatch Vin. These are all like, I don't know, like Warcraft bosses or something.
Right.
Anyway, referring to a video I saw on Facebook where the calf walked upstairs into the family's one-story home, so I came here to see with my own eyes. Once inside the wooden house, the calf is fed, washed, and put to bed with a fluffy pillow used by Tol Kut.
Mm. Oh, there. That's evidence right there for sure.
Yep. Cambodia is 95% Buddhist, and many believe the soul is, or the soul of a person is reincarnated after death, often in the form of animals. I will keep him and take care of him for my entire life, says Kim Hang.
I will keep him and love him. Call him George. Call him Tol Kut.
Call him Tol Kut. It's like having a goat. This is really weird.
It is. So five-month-old, that's a little bit young to be getting married.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It feels like she's robbing the cradle
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Also,
she's robbing the pastor.
Why do you have to marry it? Can't it just be the reincarnated Tol Kut and be good with that?
Yeah, well, you know.
She's not having sex with the goat, or with the goat. With the calf, right? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty sure no.
Yeah, she's 74 anyway. They don't do it, do they?
One time, I don't know. I hear stories about lots of frisky business going on in retirement homes.
Yeah, I talked to my mom once. She's 70-something, and I said, hey, Mom, you and John kiss a lot or whatever. And she says, what, do you think we're too old for this sort of thing? We have what we like to call senior sex. I'm like, okay, all right. Stop right there. Never talk again. Never want to hear this again.
It did sound like the way you asked it, you were kind of...
Like I was asking for it?
Exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I mean, if you'd like to know more.
I was egging her on. Yeah, I was a human click here if you'd like to know more button.
Right.
Oh, that brings up a point. Can I complain about something? I'd love you to weigh in on this. I have had it up to here with websites that say, I'll go to them and say, want to sign up now for our incredible service, blah, 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 product, whatever? And the option is, yes, sign me up with a big giant button, or right below it in smaller text, just a link will say, usually, no thanks, or no thanks. Maybe later, right. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. These days, people are putting things like, no, I do not want to take advantage of this incredible deal.
Right, exactly. No, I like to continue living my dull life.
Yeah.
Like it's
passive-aggressive as hell. I hate it. I hate it.
No, it's totally true. I got something an email recently that said something similar, like, would you like to stay on our mailing list? No, I don't want to learn about all the amazing things that you guys do, and I'm sad, and I live a sheltered life, and I have a small appendage.
Yeah, like that's totally it. One of them, somebody showed me one where it said, no, I want your daughter to cry, or something like that. Now that's kind of funny, because now you've taken it to a level that obviously isn't correct. But just being like a little bit like, no, I don't want your good deal. Screw you, dude.
Yeah.
Give me a no thanks, or don't talk to me in the first place.
Right.
Psh!
Right.
Trying to guilt trip me on a website. And the problem is people like my mom would fall for it because, you know, she's nice and wants to see what
click
these...
Click here or we kill this lobster.
Yeah. Ooh, lobster sounds good, doesn't it? Usher in the news.
Sure.
You know him? He's a deal.
He showed me to my seat.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, he may just make sure you didn't touch him because something going on here. Usher has paid a celebrity stylist. I guess that's a hair and makeup person. $1.1 million to settle a bit of a dispute after allegedly infecting her with genital herpes.
Uh-oh.
And withholding his diagnosis. Now, call me crazy here.
Yeah.
I don't think that's part of the stylist's job, is to have duty with Usher there. You know what I mean?
Have duty?
You have duty. Well, it's, you know, it's a short term for sexual intercourse.
A little make whoopee, making whoopee with Usher.
A little duty with Usher.
Well, no, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's his celebrity stylist. Well, you know, I mean, you hook up with somebody. Hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a celebrity stylist. Great. Let's you know, whatever.
Good point. It's like you make a meet up with somebody who's a server at an Applebee's. That doesn't necessarily mean that they were your server. I get
right.
That.
And even if they were. You know, nowhere is it implied that it's their job. It's, you know, maybe she styled him and they had a connection and they acted upon that connection.
Yeah, they must have. They made that connection more connected.
Yes.
The singer, whose real name is Usher Raymond IV, was embroiled in a $1 million lawsuit after he allegedly gave a woman genital herpes. He has paid out $1.1 million. That's 846,560 euros. To the celebrity stylist after he allegedly gave her an STD, according to court documents obtained by Radar Online. Mm. There's no cure for the infection, and the complainant states the singer didn't tell her about the previous diagnosis before having unprotected sex in 2012. According to the court documents, 38-year-old got You Got It Bad singer was diagnosed.
Nice choice. Yeah. Nice choice for the song to pull for Usher for this article, by the way.
Yep. It's perfect. I can't. Yeah. I have to think that was on purpose.
I'd like to think that they did that on purpose. Yes. Yeah, if not, it's a well done.
Yeah, they're not fooling me.
Happy accident. Yeah.
This was somewhere between 2009 and 10. Oh, I can't read this part.
Come on.
All right. Parents, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Here it comes. A greenish discharge was said to once have oozed from the performer's penis, but he otherwise had no signs of the virus and was labeled an asymptomatic carrier. What's that?
Asymptomatic.
Oh,
carrier.
Asymptomatic, meaning he's not it doesn't show symptoms.
Now, you know, aside from the term greenish discharge and, you know, and the fact that it contains penis, the part that cracks me up is, it was said to have once oozed for like
a story tale, around the fire.
Tale had been told.
Yeah. Gather around the fire and let me tell you
about the greenish discharge that emerged from Usher's penis. It was said to have emerged.
'Twas a cold day in the northern hills. Yeah.
It's just funny that it's like written like a legend.
Yeah, like mythology. I love it. I love that they did that. I hate to tell everyone this, but greenish discharge is symptomatic, not asymptomatic. Like, I would see that as a symptom of something.
Oh, yeah.
That's not normal. So his doctors suck.
An asymptomatic carrier. He was labeled an asymptomatic carrier.
Which means he shouldn't have any symptoms of anything, yet he's...
That would definitely be a symptom.
Yeah.
Well, it was said... Scott, it was said to have happened.
That's right. It is said he had three heads of a dog and went by the name Cerberus. let's see. After initially admitting his concerns to his partner, Usher then allegedly convinced her that he was all clear, and they continued to engage in the unprotected act. Mm,
oops.
So Usher in trouble.
I have that special kind of herpes that goes away.
Don't worry, honey. It's okay, baby. I'm clean.
It's totally fine.
I feel like every day I'm disappointed in somebody who I thought was kind of okay before, you know?
Yeah, I never really cared one way or the other about Usher, though. Really had an opinion either way.
Seemed like a nice guy, though, that wasn't a douchebag. And this feels douchey.
Now, if this was John Legend.
Yeah, wait, who's that? I don't know who that is.
He's the guy who's in La La Land and...
Oh, I still haven't seen that.
Oh.
I want to. Did you hear that... Who's the Dunkirk director? My brain just went blank.
Yeah, Nolan, Christopher Nolan.
He went to see La La Land 3 times in the theater.
Wow, he just couldn't get it? He just couldn't understand it?
No, I think he just loved it.
I know.
I think he was just like, couldn't get
it. What is this city of stars you keep referencing? I don't understand.
I don't get it.
How are these people just dancing and no one seems to notice?
How come there's no Hans Zimmer score in this? Isn't that all there is?
Where is the Christian Bale? I thought all movies had Christian Bale.
There's no Tom Hardy in here. I want to see Dunkirk pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's looking great.
Tomorrow night.
I'll bet you Dunkirk is an Oscar nominee, I'll bet you, this year. Just the way people are raving, 95%. Jeez Louises.
Everybody, you know what? Everybody listening to the sound of our voice should just go out and see it and judge for themselves on if it's a good movie or not.
Yeah. Look at this,
though. Don't leave it to Rotten Tomatoes. Just go see Dunkirk, now playing in theaters, and follow that up with The Dark Tower in a couple weeks.
That's right. And then after that, watch the sequel, Dunspock. Dunkirk currently at 95% Rotten Tomato score. War for the Planet of the Apes, 95%. Baby Driver, 95%.
Yeah, we really want to see Baby Driver, too.
Spider-Man Homecoming, 92%, and Wonder Woman, 92%. There's a lot of 90s, north of the 90s in the theaters right now.
You can probably swing a dead chicken at your local movie theater, your local multiplex, and hit a good movie.
Truth you speak.
Yes.
There's also some Spanish movie making waves called The Fencer that's apparently really good, but looks like it's probably subtitled, so no thanks.
By the way, what are you waiting for on La La Land?
I don't know. I mean, look how long it took me to watch American Hustle by David O. Russell.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
I just suck at this. I'm bad at slow. And I still haven't seen the second Thor movie.
Oh, you need to see that. I know you feel like Thor is like one of the lesser Marvel MCU properties.
Yeah, I'm not even avoiding it on purpose. It's just like, I just don't know why I never got around to it. It's like Godfather. I love mob movies. Why have I never seen The Godfather?
Let's see if it's streaming. Thor, The Dark World.
I'll bet it is.
It is not. No. It is, you can rent it for $2.99 on Amazon or PlayStation or Vudu or Google Play or whatever. But
it should be on Netflix. They got all those other Disney movies.
They do have a lot of the other ones, yeah.
It should just be there.
It's really good, man. You got your Malekith and Sif.
Yeah.
I guess Sif was in the previous one, but.
Oh, all right. She the lady?
She's a lady, yeah.
She's a lady.
She's a lady.
What's he doing? Is he doing stuff?
Tom Jones?
Yeah.
Put out an album a couple of years ago that was excellent. He's taken a much more mellow, toned down approach, and I really, really like it.
Oh,
like,
I'll check it out then.
What is the name of that album? It is excellent, and it is called
Tom Jones Mellows Out.
Tom, it's exactly what it's called. Tom Jones chills the F out. let's see, here it is. It is Long Lost Suitcase.
Okay.
Oh, Spirit of the Room, 2012. Wow, it's been. I don't think I've picked up Long Lost Suitcase, but Spirit in the Room was fantastic. Really, really good.
Ninja Steve says, didn't he just come out as gay? I hadn't heard that.
No.
Come on now. She's a lady, and exactly. I don't like ladies. I like dudes. I like dudes, yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe. Let's see here. Hold on. No. None of his information here.
Hmm.
He was married to Linda. They had a son, Mark Woodward.
Linda Carter.
Jones has stated that he had sex with up to 250 groupies a year at the height of his fame.
Male or female groupies?
Well, it doesn't say, but he had affairs with Mary Wilson of the Supremes. She's a lady.
Mm.
TV host Charlotte Laws.
Ooh.
Former Miss World Marjorie Wallace. Cassandra Peterson, better known as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, said that she lost her virginity to Tom Jones.
Hold on a minute.
Elvira, Tom Jones and Elvira.
But why is he such an... That's not cool to be kissing and telling like this, is it? Telling all these names? That seems bad. Or are they all saying it?
I think Cassandra Peterson actually said that she... Yeah, this is... Cassandra Peterson says that she lost her virginity to Jones.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, fine. This is maybe groupies he met fish.
Back in my day, I didn't use condoms. We used an old fish.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. Yeah,
could be it. Final story. A family gets HIV testing because they found a catheter in their ice cream tub.
Oh, God. Oh. A catheter.
Yeah, it's bad. Family gathering in Quebec to celebrate the arrival of a new baby boy suddenly turned sour this week when someone discovered a piece of a catheter inside the ice cream. Three people have already started eating the Kotakook brand ice cream.
Kotakook brand ice cream, yeah.
It's a weird name. Flavored with pecan nuts. I don't like those. Chocolate and double caramel when one of the guests, the new grandfather.
Pralines and gross, the new flavor from Kotakook brand ice cream.
He found something hard in his mouth. He spit it out and saw it was a piece of a catheter. I thought it was maybe dental work. There was something dark on the tip, and the family could not tell if it was caramel or blood. He put it in his mouth and found the tip of the syringe, says Carol Ann Christofferson. She told Radio Canada. He's the worst off, the most affected. He's not even able to speak about it. So Grandpa is tight-lipped, man.
Yeah, I think he'd be tight-lipped. I'm not putting anything else in my mouth until I die.
Ever. I'm 92.
Don't worry, I'm not having another bite of your cookies and catheter ice cream.
Cookies and CNC, cookies and catheter. They all had to get HIV tests, even though I don't think... I guess if there's blood contact, you could get HIV this
way. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, nasty story. Perfect place to take a break. When we come back. It's Therapy This Thursday. This day, Thursday, with my sister, Wendy.
Therapy This Day.
She's still here in Utah, yet we'll speak to her over Skype because that's how we roll. So that's coming right up. Before all that, though, let's play an indie in the middle.
Okay. I got an email from Dennis Kruzel, who emailed and said, Brian, I'd like to request a band slash song for Indie in the Middle, if possible. The band's name is Crevices, and they are from Fairmont, West Virginia, which is my hometown. I've attached a screen grab of the conversation requesting permission to play the song. I only mention that because, don't forget, I need that, people. Mm. Also, by any chance, could you give me a heads up on when you guys are going to play the song? Yes, we're going to play it now, Dennis. My listening of the morning stream has been inconsistent as of late as I'm changing professions. Thanks so much for this. Really appreciate what you guys do for bands to get exposure. Signed, Dennis Kruzel.
Nice.
Dude, totally happy to play this for you, and I'll shoot you an email to let you know. Just in case you missed today's episode, I'll let you know to listen to it. Although you should be listening to every single episode that we release.
That's right.
People, how are you ever going to be able to follow the story of TMS if you don't listen every episode?
Exactly.
This is a song called No Space. It's by the band Crevices, Krevisys, in case you didn't know how to spell it, because that's very different than I would have spelled it.
Yeah.
The album is called 310, came out this year. Here's Crevices and No Space.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a sec. Stay tuned.
Time coming, we've gotta leave the dirt. Nothing's gonna save us if we stay for her.
So save the seat for me. It's fun to eat supper with your family, especially when there is good food on the table. They are good foods to eat. Father is certainly enjoying his supper. So is Carol. So is Mother. Just look at that plate. Aren't you feeling well, Bill? Aren't you hungry? What can be the matter?
I've got your ear.
Go f*** a refrigerator, Peckerneck. This is the Morning Stream.
Okay, we're back, everybody. We're back. We're back. All those rumors of us being gone were wrong.
That's right. Podcasting is back.
Yep. I don't know why I just sent you video now. It's taking me that long, but...
I was going to say something, but we were already recording. I'm like, people don't want to hear me say, hey, send me video when you get a sec.
I should notice these things, but I'm a little slow. A little pokey. All right, we're getting Wendy all up in this biznatch. See what she's got up her sleeve. Hello, Wendy. Are you there?
Sure. I'm here. Yes, hello.
Oh, hello. It's almost like you're in the valley, like you're right near me.
you sound so clear.
Yes.
I'm actually in St. George, so no, I'm not.
Oh, what are you doing in St. George?
Just down here to get hotter. It's not hot enough in Salt Lake, so we'd like to be at 120 degrees.
Yeah, nice and warm down there. Are you doing just a hangout with the family or what?
We have some friends down here. We're just visiting.
Oh, very nice. I love St. George. One day I'm going to do the stereotypic thing and be a Utah that retires to St. George. I'm going to do it. You can't stop me. And I'll go to Vegas like every other week because it's just an hour away. Yep.
Yeah, do it.
I got it all figured out. I'm going to get blue hair. I'm going to pull the slots.
Perfect. Whatever you do, don't speed, though.
Yeah.
Don't speed in St. George.
Brian, that's how we keep the show going into the infinite future. We both retire to St. George retirement.
I like that idea, actually.
Yeah. And then we live an hour out of Vegas. We still record and do all our stuff. I got it all figured out. It's all worked out. Anyway.
Is it Iron County? Is that why I'm thinking Iron? Because I know that we were joking that when my buddy Don... We were driving back from Vegas, and he was speeding through St. George, and he got pulled over and got a ticket. Mm. There was some joke that we made that he paid the iron price for that ticket.
It might be Iron County. Now that you say that, that's actually a good point. It's
Does
not
that
far.
Sound familiar?
It might be, and there are hurricanes near there, which is people who don't know call it hurricane.
Right, hurricane.
Hurricane, and it's got what's his name? Wilford Brimley has a ranch out there. I think I bring that up every time it comes up. Anyway, hey, Wendy, I should play this.
Something wrong, Batman? Has anybody seen Wendy?
She's right here. She's in St. George, Utah, and she's on the show again after a couple of weeks off during her stay here in the beautiful valleys and travails of Utah and Salt Lake City. How are you, by the way? I feel like we haven't seen you in ages, but it was really just like a week and a half ago.
I know. Good. We're doing good.
Yeah? Kids are good. Everyone's
fun.
Good.
It's fun to be this warm. I forgot.
Yeah.
Forgot about warm.
That's awesome. Sweden ain't warm, that's for sure.
No, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm missing the best month of the year there, so I'm stupid, but whatever. It's also warm.
Oh, was July the best in
Sweden? Yeah. It's just like, you know, postcards, that is the time. They take those pictures.
your best Instagrams are always around summer from there.
I've noticed. Yeah, dang. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you notice there's like nothing in late November.
Yeah, it's where you guys shut down and hibernate. Well, anyway, Wendy comes on the show every Thursday, or most Thursdays. We talk about people's problems. They email us, and in this case, Wendy, and ask for help. So we're going to give it to them. Today's question is all about the following. I'm going to read it, and then Wendy's going to attack it. I don't have a name for this one, although this person may have the name Uncle or Unca. Anyway, here you go. I'm going to read it. So I'm babysitting my best friend's children, 3 and 4-year-old boys. They call me Unca. So it's like short for uncle or something, I guess.
Yeah, it's cute.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of cute. Even though we're not related, she pulls me aside to tell me that her father just murdered her mother and confessed to the crime.
Oh, my God.
All right. Obviously, as someone who has been described as emotionally unavailable by multiple people, the best I could manage was a stream of incredulous expletives and a promise to do whatever she needed. Despite my own experience with my friends being murdered and my grandmother attempting to murder my grandfather at Christmas, which is a story I'll tell... Or I tell often with a comedic spin on it because of MASH. Why would that?
I don't know.
Something about MASH.
I guess just putting a comedic spin on something
The Korean War.
Oh, like war is hell. Yeah, this is funny. I get it. All right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I represent, or sorry.
My grandfather was a baby.
I repressed my urge to share my experiences. At the moment, there are discussions about taking the children to the funeral. I'm personally against this, but I've only hinted at this. Of course, the majority of this fluster clock, I almost said a terrible word, would be resolved before you can respond to this. But given that, given what the U.S. is, I think others could benefit from your insights into this admittedly untenable situation. So, Wendy, I don't even know where you start with this. So you tell me.
I mean, at this point, I'm sure the funeral's over, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what they did. It'd be interesting to know. So these are 3 and 4-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And their grandparents. Mm-hmm. One murdered the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Dang. That's
hardcore.
Yeah. What the?
You know,
yeah.
You always forget. Whenever there's a murder, I'm not saying you always forget. Many people don't forget this. But I sometimes forget. You hear about any kind of murder. And you forget about not just the parties immediately involved, like the mm-hmm. perpetrator of the crime and the immediate victim, and sometimes not even just like the immediate family, but like somebody's grandkids.
Yeah.
Or yeah. And does that carry with? I mean, that's with you forever, right? Mm-hmm. Can you ever shake that? It's impossible to shake. There's never a day where you wake up and go, "Phew, glad that's in my past." Anyway, moving on. Like, I don't think you do it.
Yeah. No.
Right. Well, normal grief also just takes its time, but we would probably term this complicated grief because there's all these extenuating circumstances. And you take these little kids, they have no idea. Like, mm-hmm. you take them to the funeral, they're 3 and 4, they're not going to get it. So, I mean, I understand his impulse to protect them and not have them be at that funeral. But also, a 3 and 4-year-old are cognitively not going to be fully aware of what it is. So the risk is actually, and he's a friend / Unca. He's not necessarily in the decision-making family
right.
member department, you know, but, you know, that impulse to protect is really understandable. I mean, if it was a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, I might be more hesitant. Mm. 3 and 4-year-old, I think they're probably going to all go over their head anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the key really is, and the thing that can be concerning is to not allow children to grieve or have information and be sad, partly because we're dealing with our own feelings and it's overwhelming. And the last thing we want to do is see some innocent children sad.
Yeah.
But kids also feel it. So whether they have the sort of cognitive comprehension, believe me, they are feeling the tension, the angst, the anxiety, the fear, the sadness, they're still getting, you know, the residuals off of everybody else. So to not give them any explanation, to not give them, and I'm not saying, hey, grandpa murdered grandma and this is how it was done. I mean, obviously not, but some child form version of that, so that they don't just feel all this stuff and have no idea why or no context. Because often a kid will translate that into they did something wrong, because that's how the world works. You don't, you're that little, everything's about you to some extent and it's confusing. So, you know, whether they went to the funeral or not, that might be just kind of a outward symbol of, are we allowing these kids a little access to their own feelings and grief? And it's probably fairly innocuous. Unless the funeral is just like detailed description of the murder, you know, right. Never know. Yeah.
Diagrams and right.
Yeah, charts. Like a trial. That'd be crazy. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that?
Right. You never know. There's some weird funerals in the world, but you know, and people grieve differently. So if you're trying to protect from something, you know, that's understandable, but I think a brief, like letting the kid express how he's feeling, what he's thinking, is he sensing anything, and you kind of practice beforehand what you're going to say and have some type of explanation, and it doesn't always have to be an explanation. It can be, and this is really tricky for many of us as adults, maybe we remember being kids and not buying into the junk our parents said to explain stuff.
Right.
But as an adult, you have this incredible pressure to have the answer. So this might bump up against your religious beliefs or against your non-religious beliefs, or, you know, they may ask questions you don't know the answer to. And I think people have often, and historically it's definitely been this way, maybe it's better now, if you don't have the answer, you're not going to bring up the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so you're just going to let it sort of stick in the air. And you don't have to have the answer. Mm-hmm. That's the mm-hmm. key. Mm-hmm. You can say, how do you feel? You can say, it's okay to be sad. You know, you sort of can handle the emotional part without having to have, because it's senseless. I can already tell you right now, senseless to take an innocent life. And yet, how do you tell a kid when you can't grapple with it? You know, so relieve yourself of that pressure to say all the right things. Mm. And really, it's more about maybe being there, allowing them a little freedom to speak. And then, you know, they may talk for a minute and then they're going to run and play with a toy and you're gonna be like, what? And it's because kids don't need to do what adults do. They have play as part of how they process. So,
right.
You know, if the kid is sad and then he's running around 2 minutes later, normal.
You can kind of apply this to big of like world things. Like when, I mean, I know Pearl Harbor was important, for example, as I've grown up and been educated about it and studied about World War II, and I understand the impact it had, but I don't have those same feelings that my relatives who are alive then have, you know, the ones that experienced right. that and felt the traumatic event of it or Kennedy's death. Kennedy's death to me is more like this weird footnote where I get to study, oh, this conspiracy theories, and isn't that interesting? And there's a whole movie about it, and you know, to the back and to the left, and that whole thing, and all that stuff is interesting from a historical perspective. But I don't have the personal impact of it in the way that, say, I had a personal impact from 9/11. I felt that in a pretty visceral way. I probably shouldn't expect Nick to have that same reaction. He was a baby, you know. He didn't know the difference, and so today he'll see it the way I see Pearl Harbor. He'll see this thing worthy of discussion, maybe even worthy of a, you know, a joke, a late night joke here and there, in a way that I can't, or is more so that I'm more sensitive to. It seems like this is just a personal version of that, right? Or the other way around.
Yeah. And because it is so, that collective tragedy and mourning and rally together. I mean, you think about how therapeutic that actually is, you know, when you, after 9/11, it was like every single person was nicer, you know, do you remember that? It was like at least a week. It was awesome.
That was great.
And
totally was. Yeah.
Everyone flew flags that had worlds on them, you know, like you were united. It was this great. Yeah. Now part of that is just the human form of collective grief, and families will do the same thing. They will rally around each other. They will set aside grievances because something has, you know, sort of shocked them all out of their stubbornness or whatever and brought them together. The challenging thing is that wears off, as we all know. And eventually, you know, whatever the dynamics of this family are will come to the surface. Now, these kids will have been kids during this time. And, you know, maybe one day there'll be a better explanation for them. Or, you know, like, take the emailer. He has experienced this personally. So for him, it's really hard not to color what he thinks is best for those kids based on his own experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often does your friend know exactly what it's like to have his grandparents one murder the other or try to?
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? So he's used humor as his coping strategy, and sounds like he continues to use it. I mean, he's probably a grown man. This probably happened years ago, and that's his way of continually processing it, is kind of spinning it with humor to handle it. Mm-hmm. And no one way is wrong. It's easy to be like, well, you should do it this way, and you should cry, and you should do whatever. But I think maybe be nice to yourself about that. And whatever way you do it is okay, as long as you're sort of doing it. Mm-hmm. You're expressing yourself, or you're processing it. And sometimes you have to revisit kids and ask how they're doing. Now, of course, we don't know the relationship these kids had with their grandparents, maybe none. So it may be like two strangers had this thing, and it could be they were very close. So all of that's going to depend on that. But I want to throw out just some quick signs to pay attention to if a kid has sort of been direct, like maybe he's lost a parent, or in this case, it's complicated. I mean, we talked about suicide recently, and, you know, the suicide rate's like double of the murder rate. So there's a lot more kids, little kids, being impacted by suicide than murder. Mm. But it's still violence. It's still sudden loss. It's still unexpected, ununderstandable. That's not a word, but not understandable for them. So, and we tend to kind of clam up and not know what to do, but to revisit it periodically with the kid and check in with how they're doing, because they're going to seem all fine on the outside. You'll never know because they're playing.
Yeah.
But just, you know, kind of have a window open where they can always talk about it. They can be sad about it. They don't be, they're not, they don't be. Oh,
they don't, they don't be. I like it.
They are not punished for emoting is what I was going to say in a British accent.
Yeah. I like that. That was very good. Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. There's a big difference too. You mentioned the suicide thing, and I think that's an important thing to insert here. A kid who experiences, let's say, a parent. I have a kid near me who has this very thing happen to him, and I'm sort of always looking out for him now because I'm worried about him. But his dad committed suicide, and he was 10 at the time. This kid, and trying to reconcile the difference between a dad leaving you, because that's the feeling you're going to have, is that he chose to leave this planet and not, you know, you weren't important enough to stay here for, or whatever. That's the whatever feeling you get from that, versus grandma or grandpa, whichever side it is, killed grandpa. You're sad that grandpa got taken, but you at least have somebody to blame. I guess what I'm trying to get at is I don't know what's worse. Maybe the abandonment's worse, or maybe the other thing's worse because it's even more senseless because there was no other reason grandma or grandpa should have been taken so soon. It's just somebody else's actions that did it. So I don't know.
It's easy to extrapolate one as being he went away and left me versus, you know, grandpa did this thing. It doesn't, it affects you obviously, but you can't read it as a he did it because of me kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you can with a suicide.
Yeah.
And kids tend to do that no matter what. Yeah. Like whatever. And that's why divorce can be so tricky for a child, is as much as we can say it's not you, it's not you, it's not you, there is a part of them that, because they are egocentric at that stage, they are convinced if they'd clean their room. Because you think of the many things you'd say to a child, like clean your room, or you're late, or, you know, whatever, like you got to, and suddenly the marriage falls apart and they're like, well, if I had just done those things, I obviously added to the stress and the strain and the, you know, and some of it is just grappling with loss, is there's sort of that bargaining stage of like, I could fix this, or if I had done better, you know? And so you take a kid in the stage of their brain development, and then you throw in things adults cannot comprehend. Mm-hmm. And then not a lot of people available to help them navigate that. They'll go inwards and they'll think about it in the way they think about it. And you can't always predict what that is. And often it will be self-blame, especially in a suicide case. Mm. So it's true. It's very human for us to, like, who to blame? How do I?
Yeah.
So if someone was suicidal, I can be really angry, or, you know, dies by suicide, I can blame them. But then it's really hard not to make that about you and that you weren't enough.
Well, it creates,
when of course,
I mean,
it's not about that.
Humans do this because, I mean, it's in our benefit to seek justice when we can. Like, to survive as a species, as a group, it's important for us to have policemen and detectives and judges and people who look deeply into something to find the true cause of something, to weed out the injustice that has happened. That's like part of our thing. It's just that in these cases where there is no sense to it, we still have that imperative, right? We still want to know, but we can't always know. And that's the part that I think would be the most frustrating. And your advice at the top was, first of all, for him to drop this personal expectation he has for himself, to carry the weight of that or the responsibility for it. But there's still this like insatiable desire for us to seek that out. I don't know how you turn that off. Like, how do
right, and I don't think we should. I think it's a good thing. But but it's also the thing to be careful with children, because they are not going to articulate, you know, mom, I am feeling self-blame and some shame about grandpa's murder. You know, like they can't express it.
Right.
So they may show it in different ways. And that's another good point of sort of some troubled behavior And when people are very busy with their own grief or their own distress or, you know, the sort of the chaos that could probably ensue after something like that happens, mm-hmm. They have a hard time tuning into what their kids are feeling or needing. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's if something tragic happened to their best friend's family, you are in a neutral state to some extent, so you can help your child navigate whatever. But when it's your own family, it can be really, really tricky. So people will miss signs that the kid is sort of crying for help. And it's really down the road more than immediately. The immediate reactions are kind of what they are, and you don't have to worry so much about that. Right. It's a little longer term. You know, you probably want to pay attention.
Sure. Well, good luck to this person. We'll call him Unca, too. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Actually, or if it's already happened, let us know how it went and if, you know, there's a follow-up, too.
Yeah, I'd be really curious about it. This is one of the most unusual mm-hmm. ones we've gotten, I think. Mm-hmm. Just given the, I don't know, there's a lot of weird intrigue about this one outside of its obvious, you know, questions about emotional reactions and things. So I'm very curious
and
about
can
it.
We, yeah. Can we talk for a second about just domestic violence generally?
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, obviously it's related, very much so. And I think it's the kind of thing, and I don't know, I always feel compelled to tell people this because we have this idea and we have words like white trash or, you know, whatever, where, you know, people, cops, you know, where they're out fighting in the street and mm-hmm. we sort of have this view of domestic violence as coinciding with poverty or with a certain demographic. That's where the problem is. But mm-hmm. domestic violence is everywhere. And I work with a lot of folks, or have in the past, a lot of folks that on the outside in their big shiny houses, you would never, never know what's going on. And I always feel compelled to tell people, you know, when you're poor and you're living in an apartment with a thin wall between you and someone's being violent with someone next door, you can call the cops because you heard it. Mm-hmm. But when you live in a mansion, no one hears it.
Right.
And there's all forms of this, but just, it is not, it's more, people have more interaction with help services as well as police and various things when they tend to be, you know, living in circumstances that are less economically stable, but economically stable people have the same thing. And I always feel like I have to tell people that because they just assume everyone's happy in the rich houses, and that's not true.
Oh,
but,
my gosh,
you know, it's
so
such a,
true.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
I don't know about worldwide, but oh man, in the US, we definitely have our share of this.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably consistent elsewhere. I does it count if I farted at the table the other day and Kim hit me in the arm? That doesn't count, right? She punched me pretty good.
Counts for something.
Yeah, I felt like I deserved it, but, you know.
Well, that's part of the thinking, you know. You eventually are abused so much that you feel like you deserve
yeah,
the violence. Yeah,
totally. I'm going to tell Kim that. Hey, honey, next time I fart, let's back off a little, all right?
Yeah, come on, be nice. I mean, not. I mean, taking your joke, but making it serious because that's how the mood I'm in this morning.
Yeah.
Is that women abusing men is way more common than we have record of. I will just randomly. So this is anecdotal and I can't speak statistically, and I could have looked that up, but I didn't. So someone else look it up for me. But it's so much more rare for men to report domestic violence because we have our gender concepts of it's not abusive if a woman's doing it because it can't hurt that much or whatever macho thing we're telling ourselves about it. But I have repeatedly interacted with couples where I will ask them to switch the gender. Like, if this was a man doing this to a woman, would you call it abuse? And it'd be like, oh, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's happening the other direction, it's something else.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's actually still abuse. So, you know.
So what we're trying to say is don't hit Kim in the arm when she farts at the dining table.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that because that'll be perceived way differently than when she does it to me.
And what we're saying is if your wife is hitting you for, it's still abuse and you still need help. And it doesn't get better by just being like, well, it doesn't hurt because I'm a big dude.
Yeah.
It's the damage is, you know. And again, one other thing is domestic violence. You have to act out violence to get the term violence. But there's emotional violence and there's psychological violence and there's other things that always precede any physical violence for the most part. Sometimes people can just lose it, but it tends to be a package deal. And there's help. There's such good help for this. We've been working on this for 100 years.
Yeah.
So groups, the support groups for victims of domestic violence are amazing. Mm. Fantastic. They're everywhere. The YMCA and the YWCA, they all have them. And they're typically free. And yeah, so if you find yourself listening to this thing, I might have a thing. Mm-hmm. Do a little research and get yourself some support, because you're not alone and there's lots of good help out there.
Yep, I agree. Well, a good place to end it on. Next weekend, it's Park City weekend with the woo-woo. Johnson side nice. Family. I'm barely containing myself. I'm so excited. it's going to happen, and that means no Therapy Thursday or Thursday shows next week. As a result, we'll all be out of here. But I'm looking forward to that.
Brian, are you coming? Please come to our family.
Yeah, come to our family.
Okay, sure. All right. Sure. All right. I'll be that weird second cousin twice removed.
Yeah.
No one will know.
No one will even know. Yeah, it'll be fine. We can all gang up on my brother when he says weird things. Anyway, hey, Wendy, have a great week. Have fun in St. George and enjoy the 110 degree heat while you can.
Oh, I will.
And
see
I'll
you guys.
See you
Bye.
Soon.
See you, Wendy. Bye now.
Wendy's very, very serious today, Wendy is. You notice that?
Yes.
Very serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's good, you know?
Yeah, even stumbling over a couple of words, she made a little tiny joke about it, but boy, you know.
Yeah, so for fun.
That's the thing about St. George, man.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say that. Now I'll play this.
You're such a dildo.
There you go. See, now we're having fun. Now we're having
fun. We needed was one of those.
Yeah.
Shut up.
All right.
That is a big load for anyone to carry. Sure. No pun intended. Yeah.
So during that song, by the way, during the song before we brought Wendy on, I went upstairs and grabbed orange juice. I didn't even think about the fact that I have OJ. I don't know what's going on with the OJ thing, but
Is there a way to? Yeah, we should check in.
OJ.parole.com, see if there's anything.
Live stream. Oh my gosh, why did my camera lose its mind suddenly? Hold on. Jeez, I'm all washed out. Okay, here we go. Live hearing stream. Is it a YouTube stream? It might be. Yeah, here we go. We'll see where we're at in this thing. Come on. There you go.
You know, here I've been active, totally active, in all the years I've been here. I don't have much time to sit around and do anything. I don't know if that answered your question, but...
So of all of the programs that you've had an opportunity to complete, what do you believe is the most significant for you personally?
Wow, they actually do the... Okay, I didn't realize the whole parole hearing was going to be live streamed. I thought it was just going to be standing outside of the courthouse. We're going to find out what happened in the...
Yeah, they go whole hog on this thing and give you the whole schmear. Excellent.
Alternative to violence.
Yeah, let's see.
As I said, I think that should be mandatory for every inmate here. You know, once again, guys get hot here and... You know, we've had our share of fights here, and as I said, I've been called in some.
There's something about when he answers questions, after seeing that documentary, I realized that he just barely ever talked truth. He hardly ever mm-hmm. was talking about what was real ever, except when mm-hmm. he was playing football, mostly in college. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. Anyway, well, no word on the decision, obviously. Look how serious we are. Tomorrow, or later today, we'll check in during the PM edition of the show. And
that's right. We'll follow the story as it develops.
That's correct.
GMSPM.
Now for the weather. No, we're not doing the weather. We're going to get out of here. And before we do, though, a reminder, today does have a PM edition of the show. So if you come back at 3:30 Mountain Time, we'll be here. We'll do TMSPM. It'll be great fun. Get your Twitter questions in at the hashtag AskTMS. I'll make sure that happens. Already a few of those I see lining up today, so get yours in if you'd like it read.
Nice.
And a reminder to check out the Patreon these days, because we've got a new goal, a lowered goal, to get to our monthly game show, our trivia game show, the Frog Pants Trivia Show. Whatever we're going to call it.
The last thing you want is for the game where jury bested everybody.
Yep. We can't leave it like that.
That's how he tells the story.
Yeah, we can't leave it like that.
We can't let that be the final deal. Oh yeah, we've moved up quite a bit. This is great. Yeah, so keep we're so close, people.
Yeah, keep pushing. Patreon.com/TMS for details. And thank you everybody who is supporting us to that goal, and those who have always been here helping us. We love you as well. This show. Oh, a quick note. There was some concern the other day because I posted something about how I liked that Patreon has this tie-in where it can automatically add people to a Discord channel. Which, if we were starting today, I'd probably say, "Oh, well, that's perfect. We'll use that."
Yeah.
Back in the day, it didn't exist, and also there were no automated ways to do the Slack version of it. In fact, there were no automated ways to do anything in the early Patreon days when you and I started this. So, some have thought me talking about that meant I was going to we were going to shut down the Slack. Absolutely freaking not. I know there are plenty of people who really like it in there, and we
prefer it. Yep.
Zero chance of that going away. And the genie's out of the bottle on the Discord anyway, because I've been adding people to Discord before we had a Patreon. So it's just a big free place to go if you want to go there at frogpants.com/Discord, and we'll keep things the way they are in Slack. So I just wanted to make that point that I wasn't looking for an excuse to dump the Slack. Not even close. There's like 10 places you guys all like to hang out, and we're here to support all 10 and plus whatever ones add.
Exactly. Whichever one you want to be in, we're there for you.
Yeah. Keep using what you like. I'm not here to dictate any of that. Some of you still use our crappy old forums. I don't know why you want to, but you do. And that's fine.
Right. There's Reddit. There's, of course, the Twitch chat, IRC chat, all that stuff. So yeah,
whatever. Instagram, yeah. Facebook groups, whatever, man.
We're always listening, always watching.
Always. All right. We're out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Frogpants.com/TMS for all the things you might need to get a hold of us and talk to us. We'll be back at 3:30. I think Dan's here today. I think.
Cool.
And we'll double check, but so we'll talk some board games and stuff. I'd like to talk more about your weird Monopoly variant.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he thinks of that. Mm-hmm. If he's heard any reviews, other reviews besides Board Game Geek.
Yeah, maybe he's played it too. So that'll be good. So we'll get to all that later. But for right now, we can't leave without a song. What do you got?
I have a song. It was a little too late. There was a request that came in for a cover for today, and it was just a little bit too late. It came in 15 minutes before the show. I can't work that fast, people. Come on. I had this one already queued up from the beginning of the week, because, again, today was another open day for covers. So it's a chance for me to say, hey, here's a cover I'm totally digging. I'm going to play it for you. This is a band called The Vaccines from the UK. This is from BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge from 2012. It's a cover of the Taylor Swift song, We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together.
Oh, man. Not true of us, though. We'll be back today.
That's right.
Monday, it looks like me and Dunaway, unless something changes. Cool. But, yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. And then we'll talk to everybody on Tuesday and stuff. Brian, before you go to Vegas, have a safe trip.
I'll see you tonight. You still have a PM. You can save your goodbyes for PM,
I'm
Scott.
I'm saving my goodbyes for PM. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you then.
Time saying this is it, I've had enough. 'Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month. When you said you needed space, what? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Ooh, 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 ooh. We called it off again last night. And ooh, 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 ooh. This time, I'm telling you. Are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever getting back together. I'm really gonna miss you picking fights and me falling for it, screaming that I'm right. You will hide away and find your peace of mind with some indie record that's much cooler than mine. Ooh, 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 ooh. You called me up again tonight. And ooh, 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 ooh. This time, I'm telling you, we are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. Never, ever, ever back together. I used to think that we were forever, ever, and I used to say never say never. So he calls me up and he's all like, I still love you. And I'm like, I mean, I'm just like, look, this is exhausting, okay? We're never getting back together.
We are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever getting back together.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.